Let's pray. Heavenly Father, if we came this morning and we saw one another, if we came together this morning and we saw good rules to live by from your word, if we came this morning and we saw just good fellowship with one another, we would not have seen enough. We must see your Son. And I pray, Lord, that you would draw near to us so that we might see you, see your Son in all of his glory. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. If you have a Bible, you can open it to Acts 15. As we prepare our hearts this morning for the Lord's table, communion, we like to look at God's word and have our hearts be drawn to him through the Bible. Just a reminder, when we take a piece of bread and we take a cup, what we're doing is we are remembering that the bread stands for Christ's body and that the juice stands for Christ's blood that was shed at the cross so that our sins might be wiped away from God's sight. And we are called in the Lord's table to remember Jesus. And so I want to use a passage that will help us to remember some very important things concerning Christ this morning for us. From Acts 15, verses 7 through 11, a passage that we spent some time in recently. Peter said, and after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and he said to them, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also are." What was going on is Jews who had believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, also were next side by side with Gentiles who had believed in Jesus. And the Gentiles were not picking up Mosaic law and obeying it along with them. In fact, there were even some Jews who wanted them to first be circumcised so that they could be saved. In other words, that was a works salvation. And Peter's words in verses 7 through 11 are tremendous words that guard the gospel. Preserve the gospel of God's grace, that we are saved by faith through grace alone. There's no works added. Here's some things we need to remember this morning as we come to the Lord's table. First, remember it was God's idea first that you heard the word of the gospel and believed. Verse 7, Peter says, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice." It was God's idea that the Gentiles would hear the gospel and believe, that they would hear the word of the Lord and believe. This reveals to us God's saving heart and his motive in his heart. As a sinner and a rebel, that God would move toward you first so that you could hear the gospel, so that you could hear that there's a pardon for you in the gospel, that is grace, and that is mercy, and that is love. That you would actually then believe that gospel after it came to you in proclamation is unspeakable grace and love and mercy. Remember that it was God's idea first that you heard the word of the gospel and believed. This morning, as you prepare to take the Lord's table, secondly, remember God gave you himself in the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit just as he also did to us. God knew your heart. He knows the heart. And your heart was one of the most unholy places in all of the universe, believer. And what it needed most was for our holy God to actually dwell within that unholy sanctuary. And it is God's testimony to us that he indeed has saved us by giving to us himself in the Holy Spirit. Even though he knew your wretched condition. That is something to remember as you come to the table. Thirdly, remember God was not a respecter of persons. when he saved you. Verse 9. He made no distinction between us Jews, Peter says, and them, the Gentiles, cleansing their hearts by faith. You see, Jews had God's law. And so outwardly they looked like they had it more together spiritually than the Gentiles did. The Gentiles did not have his law. But God did for both the religious-looking group and the rebels what they both equally and desperately needed. He cleansed their hearts by faith, not by works. And such it was for us as believers. Some of us grew up around Christian teaching and Christian influence, and some of us grew up far away from it. But what we all equally need and desperately need is for our hearts to be cleansed by faith, not by good rules. You see, both the religious and the irreligious need to be cleansed by faith. So remember, God was not a respecter of persons when he saved you. Fourthly, remember that you cannot bear the awful weight of adding good works to faith so as to be saved. You cannot bear that load. Verse 10, Peter asked his audience of Jews, "Why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?" You see, the Jews in their pride tried to add good works. They picked up that yoke and they said, "God, watch what I can do. I'll believe. I'm not opposed to believing in you, but watch what I can do so as to be saved." They pridefully wanted to add their good efforts. Some of us were that way at first as well. But then God graciously and generously opened our eyes to see that that was never his idea in saving sinners. It was never his idea to save sinners with good works. In fact, some of you here this morning may still be thinking that that's a good way to go. You're not opposed to believing in Jesus, but you're still far too impressed with the good that you think you can bring to the table. And you need to repent. Because all that does is offend God, who designed a pathway of salvation that is by grace alone, through faith alone, and not by good works. God never placed that burden upon anyone, and he's not placing it upon you today either. Remember that you cannot bear the awful weight of adding good works to faith so as to be saved. Lastly, before you take the bread and the cup, remember that you were saved solely by the grace of the Lord Jesus when you believed. Verse 11, Peter says something that you should be able to say, Christian. We believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also were. That's unmerited favor. That's it. Linked to faith, linked to belief. Christian, what happened to you when God saved you? You looked away from your spiritually dead condition and you trusted in Christ's work. You trusted in his blood to save you. You did not add works to it. Only by grace and by faith alone were you saved. So before the bread and the cup come, prayerfully remember that it was God's idea first that you hear the word of the gospel and believe. Remember that God gave you himself in the Holy Spirit. Remember that God was not a respecter of persons when he saved you. Remember that you cannot bear the awful weight of adding good works to faith so as to be saved. And remember that you were saved solely by the grace of the Lord Jesus when you believed. And if these remembrances are not true for you yet today, or you don't agree with these remembrances, then the Lord's table is not for you yet. Just let the tray pass you by as it comes around. But don't let today pass you by until you understand that God saves on the basis of faith alone, through grace alone, in Jesus Christ, and by nothing else. I'd love to talk with you about that before you go today. For those of you who know these things to be true in your life and you rejoice to remember them this morning, there's only one option for you, and that is eat and drink. Eat and drink. Eat and drink as you remember Jesus. Confess any known sin that you have. And if you, when you get some time here to think and pray, map out the beginning of repentance from that sin. That's why it's quiet. That's why we don't play any music or anything. We just want it quiet so you can pray. It's awkward at first, isn't it? But let the quietness be an opportunity for you to be able to talk to the Lord and to confess any sin you have and to begin to map out a pathway of repentance for yourself. And that's also good reason for why it's good before you come, before you get in the car, to begin to plan for this before you come to church. But don't think this morning that your repentance from known sin needs to be finished and polished before you eat and drink. That's not the expectation. The expectation is a broken heart over sin and confession of sin that desires to begin repentance. Begin to do that and eat and drink this morning. The men are going to come. They're going to pass out the bread and the juice. Hold on to it, and we'll eat and drink together in just a moment. Men, please come forward and serve us.